Good evening. Welcome everyone to Simple Actions Group of Alcoholics Anonymous. My name is Elizabeth and I am an alcoholic. Housekeeping. We will only be recording and publishing the audio portion of this meeting. You can also sign up for email on our website at simpleactions.net. All right. For those that care to join us, let's open the meeting with a serenity prayer. God, grant me the serenity to accept the things I cannot change, the courage to change the things that I can, and the wisdom to know the difference. The Simple Actions Group wishes to extend a warm welcome to all in attendance tonight. Newcomers, is there anyone in their first 30 days of sobriety? We would like to welcome you. Anyone can use the chat function to send their phone numbers to the newcomer privately. Do we have anyone who's new tonight?
Hi, how you guys doing? My name is Taylor. I'm an alcoholic. I am currently in Farley, where I met Morgan last Saturday. Morgan has agreed to sponsor me and has invited me to this meeting. 15 days sober today. Grateful for that. I was sober for about 3 years, not working any program, and I think we all know where that went. Anyway, happy to be here and really appreciate the invite, Morgan.
Welcome, Taylor. Do we have anyone else who's new tonight? All right, the preamble. Alcoholics Anonymous is a fellowship of people who share their experience, strength, and hope with each other that they may solve their common problem and help others to recover from alcoholism. The only requirement for membership is a desire to stop drinking. There are no dues or fees for AA membership. We are self-supporting through our own contributions. AA is not allied with any sect, denomination, politics, organization, or institution. Does not wish to engage in any controversy, neither endorses nor opposes any causes. Our primary purpose is to stay sober and to help other alcoholics to achieve sobriety. The format of this meeting is an open big book step study. As a group, we recognize the power of one alcoholic identifying with another alcoholic, sharing their experience, strength, and hope from the book Alcoholics Anonymous. We encourage you to engage in conversation and ask questions after the meeting pertaining to the step discussed tonight. This evening, we are discussing step 11. Please welcome our panel. We have Valerie and Amy Kay. Woohoo! Okay, I'm going to read the first paragraph on page 85, and then the panel will share for a few minutes each on the reading. Step 11, sought through prayer and meditation to improve our conscious contact with God as we understood him, praying only for knowledge of his will for us and the power to carry that out. Page 85, step 11 suggests prayer and meditation. We shouldn't be shy on this matter of prayer. Better man than we are using it constantly. It works if we have the proper attitude and work at it. It would be easy for us to be vague about this matter, yet we believe we can make some definite and valuable suggestions. When we retire at night, we constructively review our day. Were we resentful, selfish, dishonest, or afraid? Do we owe an apology? Have we kept something to ourselves which should be discussed with another person at once? Were we kind and loving toward all? What could we have done better? Were we thinking of ourselves most of the time, or were we thinking of what we could do for others, of what we could pack into the stream of life? But we must be careful not to drift into worry, remorse, or morbid reflection, for that would diminish our usefulness to others. After making our review, we ask God's forgiveness and inquire what corrective measures should be taken. Val, we're gonna let you go first.
Thanks. My name is Valerie and I'm an alcoholic, and thanks for having me here tonight. So prayer and meditation, step 11, I actually started practicing step 11 while I was going through the other steps. I was shocked to find out that there were directions in the big book. These were the first directions that I found. NAA, and I started using them in the morning and at night. So prayer and meditation. Somebody said to me one time that prayer is talking to your power greater than yourself, your creator, and meditation is trying to listen. And I really like that simple description. For someone like me who likes to complicate everything and, you know, put a PhD on the end of it, keeping it simple was really, really important for me, just talking and then trying to listen. That is my proper attitude towards it. And I like that they do give you specific questions to ask in the evening. There have been times in my sobriety where the thought of the evening review and that I was going to have to tell on myself later actually stopped me from doing something I wasn't supposed to do because I didn't want to have to A, make amends for it, and B, have to tell someone else what I had just done. So it was a nice little safeguard for me. But for me at night, when I am willing to practice these questions on a daily basis and regularly, my life is better and I'm calmer. My natural state without prayer and meditation is one that's like hair trigger angry and very anxious and fearful. And it's amazing how just being willing to answer these questions at night sets me up to be calmer, but also I sleep better. And also the next day, like when I do this tonight, my tomorrow morning will be better. I answered the question specifically. I've had different experiences with those questions. There have been times where I've just done it on my own. There have been times where I've done it on the phone with other individuals every night, with women I sponsor. I've gone through periods where I was texting that information to my sponsor every evening. And it's a real discipline. You know, once the initial excitement over doing step 11 with somebody or whatever has passed, or it's a real commitment to do it day in, day out. And I like what it talks about later on that they're going to read, that, you know, we are very undisciplined people, and it's a real discipline to do it. So I guess I say that to say that if you're struggling with it, or you're in a period right now, because I've gone through dry periods with prayer and meditation as well. If you're in a dry period of answering those questions at night, taking the time to do it and have gotten out of the habit, or you haven't started the habit, you know, it just takes, find somebody to do it with you. That has always helped me when I've been resistant to doing the evening review. But there's so much in here. And most of the time it's pretty quick and pretty easy, but there are times when, you know, I've got a lot to write. If I've had a particularly difficult day emotionally, or if I've been, you know, just an ass, it can be lengthy. Also for me too, when I'm doing that review, if I'm finding out if I've got a resentment that's reoccurring, that's showing up when I do my review, then I know I need to do a little bit more with it than prayer. You know, I need to do some pen to paper. That's me. That's how I approach that. But I love how it says, you know, after making your review, this isn't about beating ourselves up. This is about looking at myself and my day objectively and how I was conducting myself during the day. But that I ask for my creator's forgiveness and inquire what corrective measures should be taken. And it's just a request, and I wait to see what shows up. And it usually shows up in the morning. So I think that's all I've got for right now. I can't remember how long I'm supposed to share for.
That was perfect. Thank you.
Okay.
Amy?
I'm an alcoholic. My name is Amy. My sobriety date is May 9th, 1994. And Simple Actions, this group is my home group. It's a little hard to talk about step 11 without talking about step 10 first and kind of all the steps. And since I know we have at least one or possibly more newcomers here, what the big book tells me is that lack of power is my dilemma. I thought that my problem was the substance, but it turns out the substance was my solution. It was my solution to what it felt like to be me on the inside. I didn't know what to do with what I felt like on the inside. And I thought that I was all alone and that it was my job to fix it. And I couldn't fix it. So I turned to things that would make it go away, that would muffle the world. The problem with that is that nothing ever got better. And my pop problems began to pile up on me and become astonishingly difficult to solve. And as long as I was sure that the alcohol and the substances were the problem, I couldn't get to a solution. So the first thing I got separated from were those substances. And I find out about that in step one, that I have a physical allergy and a mental obsession. And as I progress, I find out that what's really wrong with me is the bondage of self, that I live a life with me at the center. I think that everything that goes on during the course of the day is about me. It's being done to me. It's taking something away from me. I'm a victim. It's your fault. You need to change so that I can be okay. I wake up in the morning, selfish. I have a script in my mind. This is what should be happening. Step 10 is a way for me to clear that stuff up as it's going. We had a steering committee meeting before this meeting tonight. I got a little resentful and I stepped out of that meeting and I did a 10 step. I was not gonna walk into a meeting on step 11 and talk about prayer and meditation with a head full of profane language, which I had. So step 11, some people think a nightly review, and as Val pointed it out, this is how I get myself set up for the morning. So the reason that before retiring comes before upon awakening is because I want to get cleaned up. I want to get cleaned up so that I can sleep peacefully. I think that it's Sammy who talks about step 11 and this nightly review as a time when the sheep come home. And the shepherd picks all of the burrs and brambles out of their fur and soothes them and smooths them so that they can have a peaceful sleep. And that's my experience with doing this. I participate in something called an 11-step train, and you get on the train and every 2 weeks you get paired with a different person anywhere in the world and you do the deal. And I'm not telling you this because I work a hot shit program. I'm telling you this because I'm a hot mess and I have to do it this way. I wish that I were one of the people that was kind of like at the stage one kind of alcoholism. I'm not. I'm at the stage four. So radical measures are necessary for me. So I'm really specific about 10 steps during the day. And I'm really specific about this nightly review. And what it reveals to me is that I am basically selfish in everything I do and every way I think. I am basically resentful that you and the world are not giving me what I think I need in order to be okay. I am basically dishonest because I don't accept reality because I have the right idea of what reality is supposed to be. And I dishonestly believe that everyone and everything should go according to my perfect plan. And I am basically fearful all the time because if it doesn't go according to my perfect plan, I've got a problem and I'm going to have to take an action. And that leads into all the other stuff, my self-seeking motives. I do it so that I can look good and so that I can feel good. I'm looking for direction and connection and security and protection. I'm looking for that from you. So I'm set up. I'm wired as an alcoholic for disappointment. I am set up to be dissatisfied restless, irritable, and discontent is not far away from me at all times. And this step is telling me, if I've done what I needed to do during the day in step 10, I can show up here in step 11 in this posture of prayer and meditation. And the directions are specific. When I first read this, when I was first introduced to it, it was probably the 12 and 12, and it seemed very esoteric to me. And I thought that I was being told that I was going to have to become a born again Christian, that I was going to have to probably be a missionary. I was going to end up in a place with a bunch of very sick children, and it was going to be really dirty, and there were going to be bugs everywhere. I just thought, this sounds bad. It's not for me. But the directions don't say anything about that stuff. They tell me that I'm going to seek, and what I'm going to be seeking is knowledge and power. And the way I'm going to do it is through prayer and meditation. So the process unfolds really easily. In step 10, I'm going to clear out the channel. I am a channel for God's will. That's what my life is today. God is my employer. He pays me. He tells me where to go. He tells me who to interact with. This is my job. This is my course. So if I'm doing what I'm supposed to be doing, God is enabling me to match calamity with serenity. And the way that I can stick close to him and perform his work well is by clearing away the self that blocks me from him so that I can get filled back up with his will for me. I ask an 11-step partner, do you hear any corrective measures that need to be made? Sometimes I'll do two-way prayer, and there'll be something going back and forth saying, here's what I heard. I heard a lot of selfishness in that. I heard that you were self-seeking. You're being self-indulgent. Whatever it is, I am not counting on me to walk out this path of prayer and meditation. I am going to include as many people as I can in this business of getting me to God over and over and over again. So I have people that live in different time zones. If I'm awake in the middle of the night, I'm obsessing. I know somebody who's on the West Coast. It's not the middle of the night for them. I empower people to be my God squad. The people that when I can't reach God, they will help get me to God. I pause and pray frequently through the day. That's a very spiritual practice for me because I am not a pauser. I am like full steam ahead, 24 hours a day, enthusiastic, jumping out of my skin. I'm a jackrabbit on steroids. Let's do it. Let's do it. Let's do it. And that's quite willful. There's not a lot of room or space in there for God to have his way with me. So this time spent in prayer, time spent in meditation, time spent fellowshipping with others who are shoulder to shoulder with me in this process of cultivating closeness, because that's what I'm doing. Lack of power is my dilemma. I need access to power. That access is God. I'm saying God because it's one syllable. Everybody knows who I'm talking about, but I don't know, whoever it is for you, I think of it most prevalently as power. I need access to power. I am a battery that cannot keep a charge. I cannot hold the charge. I have a rapidly rebuilding ego. I'm humble. I'm on my knees. I'm begging God, run the day. I don't know what I'm doing. Half an hour later, I think that I should be accepting an Academy Award. I should be a size 6. I should be thanking all of you little people who should have been bowing down to me when you had the chance, blah, blah, blah. I'm right back in the world according to Amy. So these spiritual practices are ways for me to keep clearing away self and plug back into power. That's all I've got. Thanks.
Thanks, Amy. Wow, we're off to an amazing start. Okay, next reading, page 86. On awakening, let us think about the 24 hours ahead. We consider our plans for the day. Before we begin, we ask God to direct our thinking, especially asking that it be divorced from self-pity, dishonest, or self-seeking motives. Under these conditions, we can employ our mental faculties with assurance, for after all, God gave us brains to use. Our thought life will be placed on a much higher plane when our thinking is cleared of wrong motives. In thinking about our day, we may face indecision. we may not be able to determine which course to take. Here, we ask God for inspiration, an intuitive thought, or a decision. We relax and take it easy. We don't struggle. We are often surprised how the right answers will come after we have tried this for a while. What used to be the hunch or the occasional inspiration gradually becomes a working part of the mind. Being still inexperienced and having just made conscious contact with God, it is not probable that we are going to be inspired at all times. We might pay for this presumption and all sorts of absurd actions and ideas. Nevertheless, we find that our thinking will, as time passes, be more and more on the plane of inspiration. We come to rely upon it. Valerie?
Thank you. And as I was listening to Amy share, I was thinking about my friend Kelly, who she goes, you know, prayer and meditation just gets me totally filled up with God, with the power. She goes, the problem is that I start leaking like right away. So I get all filled up and then start leaking. But anyway, and it's true. I mean, it's, you know, if you have the disease of alcoholism, that spiritual malady, you know, we have to treat it. We're just not right. Or I'll speak for myself. I'm just not right sober if I don't have this power in my life. So on awakening, how I was taught and what my experience with that is when I first wake up in the morning, the first thought that comes to my mind is just the word God or creator. And my brain has just been trained up that way. So it just happens automatically now. But that is the first thought that I have when I become conscious in the morning. And for me, it's just acknowledging my higher power's presence and that I am present with that power. Considering my plans for the day, sometimes I can start running through it in my head while I'm in bed, but typically, my mind isn't centered on that. It wanders. So it's usually once I get up, have done my stuff, got my coffee, and I sit down with these directions and any other spiritual stuff that I may be reading at the time. And sometimes I write and go through my plans for the day. And consider them. But I love that prayer, you know, before I even start running around and doing stuff, that I need to ask my creator to direct my thinking. And asking that it especially be divorced from self-pity, dishonest, or self-seeking motives. And I mean, those three things are like the trifecta for alcoholics. I mean, self-pity is such a killer for me. It will shut me down and isolate me if I am running around in self-pity or feeling sorry for myself or, you know, thinking about how the world isn't treating me right or I'm not getting my way about something. And the dishonest piece, I can be dishonest in a flash and a bit mainly out of fear. And self-seeking motives, you know, when I start taking actions based on how I'm going to get mine or how I want you to see me or how I want you to think of me. So I'm asking God to, you know, remove those from my thought life. So I don't take action on the stuff that goes on in my head. I remember saying to Don one time, and he had said the same thing to his sponsor. I said, Don, I'm afraid of my own mind. He goes, you have good reason to be. Don't trust it. You know, we got to get it in that recovered state. But I like what it says, you know, then we can start making some decisions, but let's get prayed up first. Let's try to connect with the power before you start, you know, running around in the world. And I love what it says too about facing a decision. I mean, that's you know, and that's a principle I carry with me, not only in morning meditation, but also at different points during the day, if I'm not sure about what's going on. But as I'm looking through my day, and I use that rarely, and I'm not sure which course to take or what call to make or whatever, it can be something really, really simple. I pause and I ask God for some guidance, for an inspiration or intuitive thought. It took me a while of practicing this to relax and take it easy. I've had lots of experience with that power being there and everything working out just fine. I don't fight with it or stay fearful like I used to. I'm able to relax and take it easy most of the time now. If I'm asking for some inspiration or intuitive thought. Let's see. I like too what it says that being inexperienced and having just made conscious contact with God. You know, I'm sober 29 years and I still sometimes feel inexperienced when it comes to my relationship with my creator and with the spiritual life. There's so much there. And I tell, you know, people this all the time, there's no possible way that you could ever outgrow, in my mind, Alcoholics Anonymous. I mean, it is a spiritual life. It is a spiritual walk. And, you know, earlier in the book, they talk about the realm of the spirit is broad, roomy, all-inclusive. And that, what I like about that is it's broad and roomy. It's so expansive. There's so much to be experienced. And it's amazing to me what you can experience if you are just willing to take this simple action day in and day out. That's when, I've had amazing experiences and waking up spiritually to some things as a result of the practice of step 11 and the daily practice, not because I was doing anything super snappy. I didn't climb a mountain and talk to Muhammad or anything like that. It was just being willing to do this way of life the best I could on a daily basis. And amazing things happened as a result that I can't explain. This thing about being inexperienced, that's what it means to me today. And there are times that I'm not inspired. And when I'm not inspired, you know, that's when I do need to reach out and talk to other people that are on this path with me and ask for their experience or what they see, what their experience is. My thinking, well, as time has passed, has become more and more on the plane of inspiration. And I do rely on it, that vital sixth sense. You know, I've learned how to trust that gut feeling and not be afraid of it. So that's all I have. Thanks.
Thank you. Amy?
I am not a morning person. So the morning routine for me involves not having a telephone in my bedroom because the alarm would ring and I would roll over, grab it, and start looking at social media. And so my phone is in another room. I have to get up, get out of bed, go turn the alarm off. And while I'm up walking around, the blood is starting to go to my brain. And the first thing I do is the third step prayer. And then I roll into the seventh step prayer and I swim laps. Sometimes I don't know what's going on inside of me until I get in the water. And I get in the water and while my body gets exercised, and I'm kind of thinking not just EXER sized, but also EXOR sized, as whatever's going on is going on with me. My brain waves start to regulate. I start calming down and I can feel myself coming into alignment with the God of my understanding. I like to swim right next to the windows because the sunbeams are really strong in the first lane next to the windows. And I feel like when I'm swimming through those beams that are bouncing off the floor of my rec center pool, that I'm interacting with the God of my understanding. And that's what this for me feels like. It feels like the bondage of self keeps me in darkness. And how well can you see anything in the darkness? I don't see well in the dark, but when I get into the sunlight of the spirit, I get a little bit of clarity. I can start seeing things more clearly. And so I'll start praying for people that I know that need prayer. I'll start praying, not for myself, but that God will take away everything I think I know about other people, about me and my own brokenness. I will ask God to help me move the knowledge that's in my head, which my head is packed full of knowledge. I love to use my big brain as a higher power. I love to operate up here in my control tower where everything is hermetically sealed. It's exactly the way I want it to be. You cannot come in and be messing around with my stuff. I ask God to help me get the knowledge that's in my head down to my heart, because that's where transformation takes place for me. I've never experienced God in my head, even though I've educated the crap out of it. It does not make a difference until it sinks down into my heart. And the way these prayers are set up, the directions in the book, what it's doing is it just keeps taking me on a journey deeper and deeper into my limited objectives when I'm living in the world of self. My limited objectives and helping me tap into the unlimited objectives that God has for me. You know, I think that I have all the information. I don't have all the information. Therefore, anything that I'm figuring it out, and I love to think I'm figuring stuff out, is going to be limited. It's going to be polluted with self. And these prayers are forcing me to take a look at these specific words. I am dishonest. I do have self-seeking motives. I am filled with self-pity. I do think I have it harder than the rest of you. Those lies that I tell myself keep me in the darkness. And when I operate based on that stuff that comes to me in the darkness, that shadow self that I'm trying so hard to hide from you, I do things that end up absurd. When I'm operating on God's will for me, there are miraculous, wonderful things that happen. When I'm operating on my will for me, I end up with these tragic, absurd, incomprehensible things. You know, I am a producer of confusion rather than harmony. Recently, what's come up a lot for me in nightly review has been that I will volunteer for things or I will participate in relationships, and I won't really like what I'm doing. But rather than deal with the uncomfortability of saying, hey, this isn't for me, I'd rather play God and manipulate your mood by not telling you a truth that needs to be told. And what happens is that somewhere down the line, I can't keep my hat on that stuff anymore. And I explode and I blow up the relationship or I blow up the situation. That's what happens when I'm running the show. When God's running the show, I'm able to take a risk because I know I've got the world's greatest spotter hanging on to me. He's not going to let me drop weights on my throat. And I'm willing to take a risk and say, I don't think that's for me. Even though I'm deathly afraid that you won't like me, that you won't love me, that I'll be all alone, that I'm going to be one of the people that gets put on an ice floe and pushed off into nothingness. Because that's what I think alone is. I'm so dramatic. A week ago, I made this huge commission at work and I was excited about the money, but I was more excited that it was enough money that if I split it up amongst everyone, that everyone would love me. And I would like have built in this credit for myself that the next time I acted like crap and yelled at everyone or cussed them out, that they'd be thinking, yeah, but Amy gave me almost $1,000 last week. So really not a good motive, not at all. And my boss said, I don't think you should split it. You earn the money. You should keep the money. But I was hell bent on looking good, on pushing through my self-seeking motive. So what happened for the rest of the week was there was nothing but arguments every day because no one was happy with what they had gotten. Everybody wanted more. Everybody thought that their cut should have been a little bit different. And all I'm thinking is, but everyone was supposed to love me. I've got more trouble now than I did to begin with. What the heck? So I've been working on this in multiple 10 steps. And the rule with my sponsor is if I have to repeat a 10 step more than once, I'm not getting to the bottom of it. I got to go to her. And she is very unimpressed by me. So I do not like to have to go to her, but I did go to her. And when we got to the bottom of my self-seeking motives, I was able to let it go. So today is the day that we write checks. And I've been thinking that I'm going to do it again. But instead of doing it today, I kept all the money for myself. I earned it. I'm taking the money. And I have an experience that last week, when I actually did the opposite, trying to look good, everyone complained. So tomorrow, when they get their checks and they don't have extra money, everybody may complain. But at least I won't be complaining. And I will not have had this dishonest deposit in the middle of my workplace where I think that I'm setting myself up for future bad behavior by writing a little insurance policy. I do these little negative contracts instead of telling a truth that needs to be told or keeping my mouth shut when it won't serve. That's what Amy's will gets me. I think that I'm the smartest person in the world. I think I can figure it all out, except over and over what I'm told, starting back in the forewords, is this will be worked out on a spiritual as well as an altruistic plane. My thoughts are supposed to be centralized around God and how I may best serve those around me. This is not about serving Amy, but I slip into it all the time. All I have to do, though, is look back at these very specific directions. And they're not just what do you do before you go to bed. They're here's what you do when you wake up in the morning. And here's what you do when you're walking around during the day. And these things are not intuitive for me. It is not intuitive for me to pause when agitated. Have we read that yet? I'm looking at you, Elizabeth. Did we read pause when agitated? Just yeah, nod yes or no. You don't know either. No. Okay, I'm stopping there. Let's go on. Sorry. I'm done.
You're good. Okay, the next reading on page 87. We usually conclude the period of meditation with a prayer that we be shown all through the day what our next step is to be, that we be given whatever we need to take care of such problems. We ask especially for freedom from self-will and are careful to make no request for ourselves only. We may ask for ourselves, however, if others will be helped. We are careful never to pray for our own selfish needs. Many of us have wasted a lot of time doing that, and it doesn't work. You can easily see why. Valerie.
I like that it says we usually conclude the period of meditation, so it kind of tells me what I'm supposed to have been doing once I've gotten up in the morning and, you know, being quiet and talking to the God of my understanding and then trying to listen. And I like the prayer that's in there that I be shown on. And I just turn that into a prayer. I just say, you know, God, please show me throughout the day what my next step is to be. If I get into any problems, you know, show me what I need to do. Especially for freedom from self-will. I don't know if I can add too much more to how Amy described self-will. I mean, that was just beautiful. And that's what I need freedom from, is from myself. It is the easier, softer way to try to live my life based on principle. You know, the question that's frequently asked of me by my sponsorship is, you know, where am I applying the principles of Alcoholics Anonymous to the problem? And what principle is the answer to the problem? So, and I used to get confused about never praying for myself. And someone explained it to me. I'm like, well, what about when I need to pray for some patients because I'm going to like kill somebody if they don't shut up or whatever. And it was just explained to me, you know, that's okay to pray for, to ask God to help you to be patient so you can be of better service to the people that are around you or in a situation. That's the appropriate use of that. You know, praying to win the lottery, I think is kind of what they're talking about, that that doesn't work. And we can easily see why that kind of stuff doesn't work. But yeah, I mean, it's just really simple. I mean, the directions are really simple. They're really beautiful. They make the most complex problems, seemingly complex problems within and out here in the world, manageable. And all I've done is show up and ask for help and have been willing to surrender it through prayer. I'm going to turn it over.
Thanks, Valerie. Amy?
Seems like as I'm walking around during the day, what most regularly brings me back to life on a spiritual basis is I'll hear myself complaining and I'll automatically ask myself the three questions that my sponsor would ask me, which are, what didn't go your way? Whose fault is it? And who have you helped today? And 10 times out of 9, things not going my way is usually a very good thing. And that's kind of the point of all this. When I'm taking self into any equation, I'm going to come out with all kinds of crazy stuff. If I take self into my prayer life, you know, let me win the lottery. Let me have this man. Oh, and then it turns out that, you know, the man's the devil, right? I mean, I can't be laughing, but so hard when I get my way and it turns out that I am very sorry that I got my way. What these words tell me is that this work is constantly about less of me, more of God. And it's not like negation of self or anything like that, because what the book has also told me is that deep down within, every one of us is the idea of God, is the divine spark. There is God within. There's no mistake that the fourth step is a searching and fearless moral inventory. And the book tells me that I will have to search fearlessly to find God. There's no mistake that as I keep clearing away self, particularly in steps 4 through 10, to bring me up here into this posture of working on closeness with the God of my understanding. And some people will talk about 10, 11, and 12 as, you know, the maintenance steps. Well, I don't know about that, because the book also tells me that I need to enlarge my spiritual life. And I used to hear people say a lot that, you know, going to a lot of meetings is like putting money in the bank. I don't know. That's not true for me. I wake up every single day untreated. Every single day, I do this like it is day number one. Not because I'm afraid I'm going to take a drink, but because I'm afraid I'm going to mouth off and hurt someone's feelings. I'm afraid I'm going to dramatize the situation and blow it up into a dumpster fire when it was really nothing at all. I'm going to make up a story and fill in the blank spots of the few facts that I've managed to gather in my research phase, that things have gone wrong and now I've got to figure it out. My ego is going to make up a story that comforts it. And the story always is going to be, I'm the star, I'm the victim, and you're the villain. That's always the story, that my ego is going to come to a conclusion. And the story has to be, according to Alcoholics Anonymous and according to my experience, the story has to be, I am the problem and God is the solution. Because if I have any other problem but me, I have no solution. No solution. I can't do anything about anything else. I am the problem. God is the solution. Step 11 has given me directions on how to get to God. And although the battle cry of me as an addict is, what about me? What about me? What's going to happen to me? I got to get mine. The battle cry of me as a recovered person is, get to God, get to God, get to God. Keep your flipping mouth shut. Get to God, get to God, get to God. Thanks. That's all.
Thanks, Amy. Okay, we're going to skip the next reading and we're going to combine the last two readings on page 87. As we go through the day, we pause when agitated or doubtful and ask for the right thought or action. We constantly remind ourselves we are no longer running the show, humbly saying to ourselves many times each day, thy will be done. We are then in much less danger of excitement, fear, anger, worry, self-pity, or foolish decisions. We become much more efficient. We do not tire so easily, for we are not burning up energy foolishly as we did when we were trying to arrange life to suit ourselves. It works. It really does. And then continuing on to page 88, we alcoholics are undisciplined, so we let God discipline us in the simple way we have just outlined. But this is not all. There is action and more action. Faith without works is dead. The next chapter is entirely devoted to step 12. Valerie?
Thanks. Yeah, I that word undisciplined, my sponsor had me look up the word discipline. And just to see what it actually meant, because I had an idea of what I thought it meant. And if I'm remembering correctly, the definition was a systematic method to obtain obedience, which, you know, just rubs me the wrong way as a free spirit and everything, and not liking being told what to do or how to do it. I definitely have my agenda and how I want to do things and how I want to run my life and yours, and how I want to run my spiritual life. And, you know, I've come to find out that I cannot manage my spiritual life and I cannot manage a spiritual experience, but I can learn discipline in my approach to a spiritual life. And to me, that's what Alcoholics Anonymous is. It is a set of actions that are spiritual in nature that solve all my problems. And it's a spiritual way of life. And I've got to make that connection. I've got to be willing to take these actions and start trying to actually live this way. So like when I do go through my day and I am agitated or I'm doubtful, you know, if I feel myself starting to get upset, or if I'm doubtful, I'm not sure what I'm supposed to do next, or I'm not sure what's going on, to pause and to ask for the right thought or action. Because if I don't, I can become excited, fearful, angry, worried, get into self-pity, and then I absolutely start making foolish decisions. I didn't understand the excitement piece because I was like, I really like being excited. I like that feeling and I like the rush. What could be wrong with that? And when I was able to slow down a little bit, what happens to me when I get really excited is I start staying and doing really stupid stuff. And I start sometimes trying too hard. I remember in early recovery, this old timer saying to me, Valerie, you're just trying too hard. Just relax, just be yourself. And I had no comprehension of what was being said to me at all. To me, I was just trying to get it right and get everybody to like me and all that other stuff that we do. But, you know, to learn how to, and I've had to practice this. This wasn't something that came easily. Prayer and meditation has not come easily to me. I did not just fall into step 11 and have been perfect at practicing it day in, day out. You know, all of my sobriety, I've gone through different periods with prayer and meditation. I've had different experiences with step 11, what I read, what I don't read. There was a period in my sobriety where I was having a really difficult time praying at all. And what was suggested to me and what worked beautifully for me was to ask the spirit within to pray for me because I just couldn't do it. You know, so there's a lot of things here that, you know, it's such a personal experience and everybody has to have their own experience with it. The key is to start taking the action so you can have an experience and it can move beyond the intellect. But constantly reminding myself I'm no longer running the show. I mean, I do that all the time, especially when I feel myself getting amped up. But, you know, she said it earlier, you know, it's one of the most spiritual things I can do throughout the day in a practice is to pause and to say to myself, you know, I'm no longer running the show. God is in charge. I don't need to figure it out. I don't need to make it happen. I don't need to judge you. I don't need to punish you. I don't need to circle the wagons. I don't need to do any of that stuff. I need to suit up, show up, and do what's right in front of me. And when emotions get really, whether they're good or bad, it doesn't matter. When my emotions get really hyped up, that's when it's really important for someone like me to be in prayer and to have that as my backdrop and sometimes in the absolute forefront. And that was absolutely my experience too. It's amazing the amount of power that you get here. And, you know, my sponsor used to say, this is all about power. And we do, we get a lot of power here, but it's not for me. And that was now, I have not always believed that or behaved that way, but that the power that we get here is not for me. It's to flow through me and into the lives of others, whether I'm at home, at work, in AA, wherever it is. I mean, these are the principles that we take with us into all of our affairs. And that power needs to flow through me to go into all of my affairs. But anyway, when I am doing that, I'm not tired all the time. I'm working with a gal right now that's pretty new. And she's really struggling just with pure exhaustion. I mean, being her is exhausting. Being up here and living in this for her right now is exhausting. And she's getting ready to hop on her four step. And I know that that's going to be a transforming experience for her. But, you know, these promises that they have in here are so true. It does work. And it is it's just our directions. And, you know, you just got to take the action so you can have the experience for yourself. That's all I have. Thanks.
Thanks, Valerie. All right, bring us home, Amy.
It's the we pause when agitated or doubtful that is the takeaway here for me. I'm not a pauser. I've been told that pause stands for practice awareness until spirit emerges. That just saying it sounds like it's going to take too long for me. And I've also been told to wait, WAIT, why am I still talking? And I'm still talking because my head is filled with my will and my voice. I too am an excitable type and I've recently learned to start taking excitement into 10 steps. And I find that the fear underneath of that is that something bad is certainly going to happen. I get jacked way, 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 way up on excitement. And I start getting a little grandiose and I start embellishing and now I'm dishonest and I'm going to get a little hypersensitive and then I'm feeling sorry for myself because nothing good ever happens to me and blah, 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 blah. And then what this ends is, and next I'm going to take this out into step 12. So I'm going to clear the channel in 10. I'm going to fill the channel back up in 11 and I'm going to take that out into the stream of life in step 12. And I have had tragic and absurd and incomprehensible things happen when I am not properly inventoried and I carry too much of me into carrying the message to others. And I'm telling you, you got to leave your husband. You'll never be able to stay sober. And I'm sure he's got borderline personality disorder. And, you know, I think I'm a doctor and a lawyer and a psychiatrist and a preacher and whatever it is, I'm the best at it. And I'm just going to keep coming back. Thanks. That's all.
Thanks, ladies. Woo! Brought the fire. Okay, so we're now going to pass the seventh tradition basket. My co-host David has put up our Venmo and PayPal links. We do take credit cards and debit cards. Seventh tradition states every AA group ought to be fully self-supporting, declining outside contributions. While contributions cover each group's rent and other expenses, the seventh tradition is essential at every level of AA service. It is both a privilege and a responsibility for groups and members to ensure that not only their group, but also their inner group, central office, local services, district, area, and the general service office remain self-supporting. This keeps AA free of outside influences that might divert us from our primary purpose, to help the alcoholic who still suffers. Our common welfare, a word about safety. Our group endeavors to provide a safe meeting place for all attendees and encourages each person here to contribute to fostering a secure and welcoming environment in which our meeting can take place. Announcements. Are there any AA-related announcements?
Good morning.
I know David has one.
I'm worried I'm an alcoholic. This home group right here that y'all are in on Zoom is meeting in person for the first time in a long time to have our awesome supper and a speaker. And that is going to be Monday, May 9th. Chris W. from Carrollton, Virginia, 6 o'clock potluck, 7 o'clock speaker meeting. Bring a dish if you wish. Please do if you can. It'll be awesome. It's going to be at Ghent United Methodist Church, 531 Raleigh Avenue in Ghent. Love to see you all there. There is also going to be a hybrid option. So if you are not local, you can still Zoom in for the fun, just not the food. Thanks.
Thanks, Morgan. Do we have any other announcements? Okay. Don't see any. A Simple Actions is a home group. If you're interested in joining our home group or in need of a sponsor, please hang out after the meeting. Home group members, raise your hands. Sponsorship question. Sponsorship in AA is yours for the asking. We urge you, do not delay. If you have questions or would like additional information about sponsorship, we will be available here after we close the meeting. Please feel free to talk to any of us. We want to thank all that participated. We're going to unmute everyone for the Lord's Prayer and give everyone a chance to say thank you to Valerie and Amy. BJ has volunteered to read the last paragraphs on page 164.
My name is BJ. I'm an alcoholic. And thank you, ladies. That was amazing. This comes from A Vision for You from the Big Book, page 164. Our book is meant to be suggestive only. We realize we know only a little. God will constantly disclose more to you and to us. Ask him in your morning meditation what you can do each day for the man who is still sick. The answers will come if your own house is in order. But obviously, you cannot transmit something you haven't got. See to it that your relationship with him is right, and great events will come to pass for you and countless others. This is the great fact for us. Abandon yourself to God as you understand God. Admit your faults to Him and to your fellows. Clear away the wreckage of your past. Give freely of what you find and join us. We shall be with you in the fellowship of the Spirit, and you will surely meet some of us as you trudge the road of happy destiny. May God bless you and keep you until then.
Thanks, BJ. Okay, we're going to close with the Lord's Prayer, and then everyone can thank the speakers. So let's start with the prayer. Our Father, who art in heaven,
hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory forever
and ever.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Woohoo! Thank you, guys. That was awesome.
Thanks so much.
Thank you. Thanks, Amy.
Thank you.
Thanks
for
a great meeting.
Awesome.
Thank you, ladies.
Thank you.
Thanks, Amy.